President Trump has vowed to see the Roe v. Wade decision overturned. Trump promises to appoint only those he calls pro-life judges, anti-abortion judges, and that includes his current choice for the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch. In Congress, a bill sponsored by Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss would legally define human life as beginning at conception. That bill also declares that embryos are due the right to life. Now, we've explored the abortion debate on this show before, but we mostly addressed the political and spiritual debate. Now we want to take the politics out of it completely and just talk about the science. For that, I'm joined by Dee Dee St. Louis. She's a physician for reproductive health based in Atlanta. It's good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to sort of walk us through some of the most common misconceptions there are about abortion. And this is, again, taking politics out of and just staying straight with the science in and of itself. And one of the first arguments that you hear a lot is that abortion is never medically necessary. Is that true?
That is clearly not true. There are circumstances during which, either for the mother's life or because of issues with the fetus, that women will need to have a termination of pregnancy.
So in other words, abortion, as far as medical doctors are concerned, is sometimes a life-saving procedure.
Absolutely. Abortion is part of the continuum of care that we provide to our, to the women who come to take care, to come to us for care.
Okay, so another one is that abortions are inherently unsafe. How safe or unsafe is the procedure?
That is, again, an unfortunate common misconception. Abortion is one of the safest procedures that we provide. To put it into context, it is about 10 to 15 times safer than actually childbirth.
10 to 15 times safe, okay, than giving childbirth. Okay, so here's another one, and this one's a little odd. Abortions cause breast cancer. Is that true? That does your risk for breast cancer go up?
Again, that is clearly another misconception. The risk of breast cancer is not increased by having an abortion.
Is there any, have we established any connection at all between the risk for cancer and whether you have an abortion or not?
Thus far, if you look at the evidence that is in the medicine and you look at the clear evidence, there is no connection between your risk of breast cancer and the abortion or the number of abortion you have had.
Do women who come to you have these concerns? Do they ask you, will this cause breast cancer? Is it unsafe?
Absolutely. When women come to us, they come to us with a lot of misconception. They come to us having a lot of stigma attached to the decision that they've made. And part of my job, part of all of the physicians who provide this type of care's job, is to sit down with the patient and outline the evidence-based medicine, counsel them as we would for any other procedure, and make sure that they have all the information they need to make their decision.
I mean, we'll get back to more of these misconceptions, but how complicated is that job to just present the medical evidence to a patient without getting all of these political / religious issues brought into it? Does that make your job more complicated?
No, I think my job is to make sure that she has the information she needs. And so we sit down. It's a conversation. I answer her questions. I counsel her as I would any patients for any other procedure. And then I listen to her questions, answer her questions. A lot of it is also providing emotional support. They need to know that someone supports them in the decision that they've made.
Okay, so let's get back. Another really common thought about abortion is that it's possible to cause infertility. Is that true?
No, it's not true. The risk of infertility is not increased by having an abortion.
At all?
No, it's not. When a person has an abortion in the context of a safe medical procedure with a provider and has access to the most recent evidence-based care, the patient's risk of infertility is not increased.
Okay, so since you talked about safe procedures with a licensed provider, let's go to another one, which is that if abortion is illegal, women will not get abortions. Now, I can actually debunk this one myself. We have estimates of the number of illegal abortions that occurred in the 1950s and 60s. Obviously, they were illegal. It's impossible to have exact numbers, but they range from 200,000 to 1.2 million per year. And in the year 1930, illegal abortion was the cause of death for nearly 3,000 women. Of course, those are the only ones in which we have the records. It's quite likely that that number is considerably higher. So why do you make the distinction? How dangerous is an illegal abortion?
Well, when an abortion is done in an illegal setting, the patient has no way of knowing, of ascertaining whether the provider has been properly trained, whether the provider is licensed, whether the conditions under which she's having her procedure are safe and sanitary. Having abortion being part of a continuum of care allows us to provide it in a setting where it is safe, it is sanitary, the providers are trained and licensed. We're all trained, licensed, board-certified OBGYN who are providing this care, part of the continuum of care.
Well, that brings us to the argument that clinics that provide abortions need to have the same regulations and strictures put them on as an ambulatory surgery center. And they say that's for the safety of the patient. How often does an abortion result in a complication in which they have to be rushed to a hospital?
So abortions provided in self-standing health centers rarely do end up with a patient having to be transferred. However, all of the clinics who provide abortion care have protocols in place to manage that as an emergency so that when a patient does need to be transferred, we know how to transfer the patient quickly, efficiently, and safely, and to make sure that she gets to the nearest hospital that will provide her the continuum of care and pick up where we leave off.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Dee Dee St. Louis. She's a physician for reproductive health in Atlanta. And again, last week we talked about some of the political debates over abortion, since abortion is going to be up for debate again in our national politics. Today, we just wanted to focus on the science, what can be established, facts as we know them scientifically. Okay, so that brings us to another one, which is that fetuses experience pain during this procedure. What do we know about whether a fetus in utero experiences pain or does not?
So thus far, what the science has shown is that a fetus, in order to experience pain, has to reach a certain level of neural development. And thus far, we have been only able to ascertain that pain would be felt late in the second trimester, which would be 29, 30 weeks and beyond that. And abortions are not provided past 24 weeks, depending on which state you're in.
In other words, as far as we know, a human being needs to have nerves and pain receptors in order to experience any kind of pain. But there's not really any way to know for sure because you can't ask.
Unfortunately, we do not have the ability to ascertain beyond what we have thus far. And scientists are continuously looking at the most recent evidence to ascertain what is going on. But based on what we have right now, we can say that fetus do not feel pain until after 29 to 30 weeks.
Didi, how long have you been practicing OB-GYN?
I finished training in 2002, so I've been practicing since 2002.
So 15 years.
Yep.
That brings us to yet another common misconception. I think it's a misconception, which is that abortion is skyrocketing. You just made a face. We're on radio. Everyone, she just made a face. According to statistics, the abortion rate in the U.S. is actually at the lowest it's been since 1973. Have you seen that in your practice as well?
Absolutely. Abortion is not skyrocketing. I think having access to better contraception, more effective contraception, has enabled women to be able to make better choices and to decide when and where they want to have children. And so access to contraception has actually contributed greatly to a decrease in the number of abortions.
So let's talk about the very last one that most people list among the top myths surrounding abortion, which is that most women regret having the procedure. And I get that any medical procedure carries stress and anxiety with it. But is there a special burden of stress, anxiety, and regret that comes with this one?
Now, I believe that in speaking to my patient and in looking at the evidence that is out there in the scientific literature, that women regret having been in a position where they had to make that decision, but they rarely regret the decision itself. And part of my job when I speak to my patient and when I counsel them is to support them and sometimes is to help them explore all the options that are available to them. And so as with any other procedure, when I counsel my patients, we counsel them about the risk as well as the alternative. We know know that they're when a woman is pregnant, she has three choices. She may choose to keep the pregnancy, she may choose to give up the pregnancy, the child for adoption, or she may choose to terminate the pregnancy. And we discuss those choices with all of our patients. The majority of our patients have already made their decisions by the time they come to us. But my job is to make sure that they know all their choices and to support them whatever choice they choose to make.
Why is it so difficult at this point, in your opinion, for the medical community, the scientific community, to sort of cut through alternative facts, the misinformation that people are getting that makes people have misconceptions and myths from in the first place?
There's such a stigma surrounding the choice of having an abortion, and abortion care has been politicized and has been used as part of discussion in the political arena, and they've taken it out of where it belongs, which is in the medical arena between the provider and the patient, allowing the patient to make her decision with the proper information that she needs.
That sounds like you're saying you wish politicians would get out of it and leave it as a medical decision.
Absolutely. I think that politics has no place in the exam room. This is a decision that the patient has to make with her partner, with her spiritual counselor if she needs to, and she needs to come to us for the medical information and for us to counsel her, but there is no place for politics in the exam room.
We have about a minute left. What would be the one thing you would say to women about this procedure and about their medical care? What would be the one most common message you want to give?
I think women need to know that when they come to, when they have to make the decision and they've made the decision of having an abortion, that the centers, the health centers that they will go to, the providers are there to provide compassionate care, and that we're there to support them no matter what their decision is. We cry with our patients, we laugh with our patients, but most of all, we provide them with the most compassionate care that we're capable of.
That is Dee Dee St. Louis. She is a physician for reproductive health in Atlanta. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.